Welcome to Deep Dive Genre. Director Hans Steinbichler was born in Switzerland and grew up at Lake Chiemsee. During his school years, he began working as a photographer and journalist. He broke off his law studies in Passau and instead studied at the University of Film and Television in Munich. He is regarded as an innovator of the Heimatfilm, and his films have received many awards and played at many festivals. In his movies Hierankel and Winterreise, he explores the subjects of guilt and atonement in beguilingly beautiful images of landscapes, and locates them between tragedy, colportage, and emotional drama in the themes of the Heimatfilm. Hans Steinbichler's newest film, Ein ganzes Leben, A Whole Life, which also falls into the Heimatfilm genre, was released in theaters in November 2023. We talked to him via video call for this interview. Hi, Hans.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us today and for taking the time to talk to us, because for our listeners, you are smack in the middle of a very, very intense film start for your latest film, Ein ganzes Leben, A Whole Life, which is currently in theaters, and the film is very successful, so congrats on that.
Thank you so much, really.
And our current podcast season is about the genre Heimatfilm. You've directed and written a few films in that genre. What do you like about the genre? What entices you about the genre?
Well, you know, the Heimat genre, I really express it like Heimat because there's no translation for it. For example, is the birth for me as a filmmaker. Mm-hmm. I did a film 20 years ago. It's called Hierankel. Mm-hmm. It was my final film on the High School of Television and Film in Munich. And they wrote about, in those days, it's a new Heimat film. I was happy with that kind of sticker or with that label, because the old Heimat film in Germany has a severe problem. 100 years ago, we had a Heimat film in the 20s, in the 1920s, which was in its expression and in its visuality absolutely stunning and excellent. But what came out with that Heimat film genre was an ideology for the Nazis to come.
Yeah.
One of the most famous actors in that Heimat film area 100 years ago was Leni Riefenstahl. Mm. And she did films in that time, and it all led to a complete catastrophe. So the label itself is kind of a problem. Mm-hmm. But of course, we have to face it. And I tried it 20 years ago, and I tried it very hard also with this movie. Mm-hmm. There was one critic in the reviews who said, Steinbichler tries to avoid to get into that trap. And I have to admit, I was proud that someone noticed, because it's a problem, not only 100 years ago, no, it's a problem today.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you mentioned that. And also what I find very interesting on top of that is that a lot of creatives, directors and actors mainly are very careful not to commit to a genre, but also the Heimat film genre in particular. I noticed that when I started asking people to participate, a lot of people are a bit weary and maybe careful. I don't know if they feel like they paint themselves into a corner if they commit to a genre or to Heimat film, because it has so many different connotations and some difficult connotations.
But what you mentioned right now, you have to split the difference.
Yeah.
For me, the word Heimat is magic. You can't translate it. And it expresses a feeling that's very German. Mm-hmm. And we must not mix up the word German with nationalism.
Yeah.
But we must mix it up with our fantastic decades of spirit, empathy, music, art, the romantic German decades. Those were days where German was on a high level in every sense, but not in sense of being mighty or being dangerous for the other people.
Yeah.
And this German romantic feeling, this means Heimat. So I want to split the difference.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do Heimat films because I'm labeled with that. I want to go for that. And I think with a whole life, we managed to get kind of a transition in a Heimat film that can be played and not misunderstood. This is my opinion on that movie.
And let's talk about that movie. It's based on a very successful book. How hard is it when you approach a project that is based on a successful book? I mean, how protective are you of the source material? How easy is it maybe to, you know, change some things because they might not work as well in a visual setting?
Ein ganzes Leben, a whole life, the novel is extremely successful. It's so successful that you can say, I only could do this film because this novel is so successful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the very reason that I could do this film in this way. Therefore, it was extremely important for me to stay very close to the novel. The novel is marvelous. I love this novel. You have to imagine as a reader, it's called A Whole Life, Ein ganzes Leben, and it's tiny, tiny 150 pages.
Mm.
So what did Robert Seethaler do? He was constructing a life where you would read a sentence and go on thinking yourself what happened. That's why it's so short.
Mm-hmm.
And the same way we did it with the movie.
Mm.
I tried to make a movie where you can take a look at, where you can stay without getting a cut or a detail. You can stay in the framings, in the visuals, and you can reflect what you see there.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a question and answer on yourself, what happens in this movie. Because the big question in this movie is, there is a guy who will lose almost everything he ever gained. But still, in the end of his life, he's a happy man. And he says that. He says, I'm alone, but I have everything I want and I need. He says, if I was not so tired, I could love from happiness. Those are the sentences that make that novel, that make that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And to get that arch, you have to be very precisely to stay with the novel, to be very tied to the novel, because the people who read that book, they love certain sentences in this novel.
Yeah.
And this novel, in my opinion, will stay as a one novel of German language in a century, I'm sure.
I was wondering when I watched it, what touched me specifically is that I was thinking about my grandparents, you know, who were born like around the same time that Eggers was born, like 1907, 1910. Why do you think the story of Eggers' life as a movie resonates so much with the audience? Because it's a life so far removed experience-wise from what, well, let's say about 2/3 of the population in Europe, at least, you know, has experienced growing up and living their life.
It's a very interesting question because, to be honest, the whole life, if you take a look at this movie, you could think whoever would want to look at a life like this, a life of pain, a life of abuse, a life of losing whatsoever you love.
Yeah.
But if you look at the attitude we try to create for the protagonist, for Andreas Egger, whose life we show, it resonates, and that's what we've been talking about 2 minutes ago, it resonates to, you look at him, you look at your life, I look at my life when I watch that movie, when I make that movie, and of course, I realize I have to put much more Egger into my life.
Yeah.
To be humble, to be satisfied with what you get. And what you learn out of this movie, your life has been given to you. It's a present. And it sounds weird, but you have to be grateful and thankful for that. Yeah. And I think this is what resonates with the people, that the life that you have is a present and you have to take care of it and whatever it takes. It sounds so simple, but Andreas Egger does it in a very humble way.
Yeah.
And he's not a hero. He's a very silent person with almost no evolution.
Yeah. Nature is a very, very important part in that movie. And as we all know, it can be very, very tricky if you're beholden to the elements and to nature. I was wondering in that respect, what was the hardest scene to shoot?
Nature in a whole life, it's a player itself.
Exactly, yeah.
It's almost a human being, or it's a being. Let's say it's a being that takes action, that's silent, that's loud, that takes and gives. It's really the player that is in everyone. The mountains are in the persons who act in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a fantastic director of photography, Armin Franzen, who's from Berlin. And we tried to find out, how would you photograph mountain and people? And then, of course, we had to go back 100 years ago to that fantastic period of Heimatfilm in the 20s, which are so difficult to look at.
Yeah.
But we saw what they did. And we tried to learn from that, from the good aspects.
Yeah.
And now, to your question, the hardest scene to shoot for every one of us were two. It was the physical abuse of the boy, who is beaten by his stepfather. That was horrible. Even you would know, we are all professionals. The kid is guided, the boy.
Yeah.
Everything is taken very carefully and so on. But it was hard. The second thing, what was really hard to shoot, was a scene in the snow.
Mm.
I don't want to spoiler it.
Okay.
But the actor, Stefan Gorski, he had to be in the snow all day long.
Ooh.
But not covered, because he has a very thin suit and he has to survive this kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And this was technically being in the snow, physically for Stefan Gorski, because he was really in danger of being hurt from the cold.
Ooh.
And then it was so exhausting for everyone of us, because in that scene, he has to play, despite of the physical aspects, a totally turning point in his life.
As you mentioned, I mean, the nature is a protagonist beside, you know, Andreas Egger, maybe the main protagonist in the film. And for me, there were some moments where I almost thought that his relationship with nature is much closer, maybe even purer than to most of the people around him, because he knows how hard nature can be, but also how wonderful. It doesn't judge you. With people, I think they can always surprise you in a good or a bad way, and you always have to be, well, Egger, at least, I felt, always knew he had to be on guard and keep his heart close and a little bit maybe closed off. And with nature, I felt like he could really be himself and just be. And I felt that very, very strongly when I watched the movie.
I think what you said about that relationship is totally right. When I thought of Egger and nature, I always had the thought of Into the Wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of a man who starts to get into nature because he knows it will save him. In the film, there is one moment you saw it when Egger gets a little bit older and gets away from his stepfather.
Yeah.
There's one moment we see him from the back. We see him from the back and he turns into our direction and we see his POV, his point of view. Mm-hmm. And what do we see? It's the mountains and it's a promise. It's not like, oh, fantastic, the sun and so on. Yeah. No, it's the mountains where he can be above the people in the village. And he there can resonate with himself. And he takes nature like you described it, not judging it, taking it in its cruelty, in its beauty, in its silence, in its mightiness.
Yeah.
And he would never complain about that.
You mentioned Hieronkel earlier. How, well, maybe it hasn't, but has your outlook on what Heimat film can be changed since then? I mean, has it pivoted at all, or are you still feeling the same way about it?
I have to admit that Hieronkel and A Whole Life, those two movies, they have a very strong connection. Mm-hmm. It seems for me as if I had started all what I wanted with Hieronkel, with this debut, and as I would have returned with A Whole Life to that very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a strange feeling because it sounds like an ending, but I think it isn't. I think it's the beginning of a small new period, knowing what I can and knowing what many, many people helped me getting there.
Mm-hmm.
Because A Whole Life is the work of many, many great artists. Really, I have to stretch this. I have to point on this because what you saw, the feeling, the sound of everything is a mosaic of all the head of departments, you know, makeup, costume, camera, sound, everything.
Yeah.
And this movie is art and handcraft.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a connection. And I have to admit, for me, nothing changed in this aspect.
Mm-hmm.
But society changed a lot.
Yeah.
And you have to be very careful to do a film like this. So I didn't change my point of view on this. But I was thinking about how can I tell it without getting into a trap.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, this is a little bit of a difference, but it's cognitive. And the other thing is unconscious, I would describe it.
There was also a wave of Heimatfilme in the 1950s, which were very kitschy in a way. There was a lot of glossing over, a lot of unspoken things that were not mentioned from the horrible years before. And there was a sort of a prettified version of reality. Films of that time do not have the best reputation. But especially now, as you mentioned, times have changed. I think Heimat is such an even more important part of everybody's lives because there's so much immigration happening. People are losing their homes, their homelands. And, you know, a lot of times Heimat for them is a feeling that they're taking with them. Do you think that now maybe is the time that Heimat film, not just in Germany, but in you know, other countries, other film industries as well, there might be more films made?
You know, I live in Munich, in a part of Munich. It's called the Messestadt. And the Messestadt is a new quarter in Munich. And it's the youngest part of Munich. The reason is there are many, many, many immigrants here. Mm-hmm. And persons from many, many nations. And the interesting thing is, in like 5 or 10 years, there will be many people, women and men, who will make Heimat films that have almost no relationship to that what I did mm-hmm. now, and of course not to that glossy, kitschy films in the 50s. We will have a completely new definition of what Heimat can be. And my hope would be that for many of those people who start to create those films, who come from outside, that they will resonate on a Heimat feeling that is good and create a new Heimat for himself. This would be my hope.
Yeah.
But taking a look at the political situation in Germany, taking a look around Germany today, we have the Netherlands, we have Poland, we have France, where the change is to come. You almost can't realize or recognize it because they hide it so carefully.
Yeah.
So I have to admit, although I'm a total positive person, I always believe in a good outcome. I think we are in a very complicated situation politically.
Absolutely. I mean, it is very worrying. I mean, there are some, you know, smaller instances where you get hope, like in Poland with the, you know, last election, but I feel like I'm constantly on guard. It is very worrying. The Heimat film you've done, I would say, are mostly dramas. I was wondering, is there maybe a sub-variety that you might be interested to tackle as a director, like a Western, more of a Western-style Heimat film, like Das Finstere Tal, or, dare I say it, a musical? I think that could be very interesting as well.
No, a real interesting question. I think you remember the moment when Andreas Egger, my protagonist in A Whole Life, and his stepfather Kranzstocker, there are two occasions where they have kind of a Mexican standoff.
Mm-hmm.
We call Mexican standoff in film the situation in Western when people stand against each other with kind of weapons. So in my opinion, A Whole Life has a little bit of a Western feeling. And it was so interesting because someone came up to me. I like him a lot. He's a very intelligent person in film business. He saw that movie and he said, and this is really, I don't want to be coquette, but he said, you did Alpen Scorsese.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh my God. Exactly. I was totally honored because, mm-hmm. you know, like Goodfellas from
yeah.
Scorsese or so. I don't want to compare me with Scorsese. You know this, yeah?
Yeah.
But someone said, you did an Alpen Scorsese. Someone said, you did an Alpen Malik. Yeah. And I was totally honored by that because those are such great filmmakers. And to have the connotation,
mm-hmm.
and it's a connotation, not more, is very honorful for me. And the second thing, you hit the nail. I'm going to make a music film as next step.
Oh, that's
a And topic. I know I can do this. I know I can do this because I can combine my love to drama
mm-hmm.
with music. I love music films. You know, if you would have asked me for a movie I would have loved to do in the last 10 years, it was Mamma Mia.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah.
I watched that movie with my wife and my children.
Yeah.
And I couldn't stop laughing and crying in that movie. It was just fantastic.
Yeah.
It was the birth of a whole new genre for mm-hmm. me. And I want to go into that. I want to try it.
Yeah, I was actually just in London the last few days, and there is still, I'm not even sure what it is. I think it's sort of like a Mamma Mia equivalent to like the Rocky Horror screenings, you know, where people sort of come in dress up and they throw popcorn and they do the dance. And that was in London. And I mean, there were like tons of people outside the theater waiting to go in, but sort of like a karaoke version of, you know, you go watch the movie and everybody sings and dances. And they looked so, so happy.
But do you know the movie?
It was Mamma Mia. Yeah.
It was Mamma Mia.
Yeah, yeah, it was Mamma Mia.
But number one.
Yeah. Number well, not one. Number one, but there was like a big theater where it was still playing, yeah. Sort of like a come and participate screening. To go back to what you said, the album Malick, I can absolutely see that Malick is one of my favorite directors. And I know a lot of people have a hard time with him because he gives you so much space as a audience member to have your own feelings, to think. That's a perfect comparison.
Yeah, thank you so much. But you know, it's a connotation, but I heard it sometimes. It was so lovely. We did our debut in Zurich Film Festival.
Yeah.
And the Zurich Film Festival has grown very important, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, it has.
And the chief, Christian Jungen, he did an interview and he said he's so proud of having two German films. It was Stella and A Whole Life.
Yeah.
And he said, I think it's not the worst thing if you see a German movie and think of Malick when seeing A Whole Life. And I was really proud because of one aspect. We described it in the beginning of our talk. I wanted to give the people who watch it the space to resonate with themselves, what's happening in that movie and what's happening with themselves. And that's a complete difference to a movie that only wants to take your attention and does not want to let you go.
Yeah.
I want the people let go. And for me, the miracle of the success what we have is that such a movie that is not about being happy all the time, about success also, but it's about failure, it's about losing things, it's about death and love and so. That such a movie resonates in the people and they would go out and say, take a look, it will give you something to ponder.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a great point to come to the end. Thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're very busy. I appreciate it very, very much.
Come on, I'm so happy for the talk. It was so funny because when I stepped in, I'm in between many things.
Yeah.
And I just go with the flow.
Perfect.
So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Deep Dive Genre is produced by German Films, the National Information and Advisory Center for the Promotion of German Films Worldwide. To find out more about our guests, check out the links in our show notes. To stay up to date with our episodes, subscribe wherever you find your podcasts.